Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our first reading today from the book of Isaiah, prophet Isaiah. We experience Isaiah writing in a time after the fall of Jerusalem in 587, when the people that he was writing were scattered all over the hinterlands and broken up with no particular focus for their faith, no particular focus for their civil authority, nothing like that. And so Isaiah calls them forth he says, "The Lord has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with one word." And so Isaiah claims his authority as a teacher, and most especially, he claims the responsibility that comes with that. And in the second reading, we experience St. James, who oftentimes gets down and dirty about sort of the ordinary stuff. When he has this dissertation that we read this morning on the tongue and how the tongue, he says, is a very small organ of the body, but it has great power. And the power that the tongue has can be used either to divide or to unify. And it makes the point, brackish water and clean, life-giving water that come from the same stream, and how it is that we are called to control that tongue, as it were, so that what comes from our mouth is life-giving, is nourishing, brings us and brings the community, as Isaiah was referring to it as well, into union with each other, into a sense of love and peace. And in the gospel, we experience Jesus walking along, turning to his disciples and saying, "Well, who do they say that I am?" And Peter, who oftentimes represents all of us, says, "Well, you're the Messiah. People think you're Elijah, one of the prophets, or whatever, but you are the Messiah, the Son of God." And Jesus turns to him and says, "That's right, but kind of sit on it, right? Don't make a big deal of it, because it's up to other people to come to that. It's up to them to somehow understand that through their experience of me, through my ministry, through my miracles, through the things that Jesus has been doing as we read our Gospels the last few weeks and continues to do, to draw people into union with each other." As I read the readings and kind of tried to ponder them a little bit this week, what struck me was that sense of the power of the individual, the power that each of us have, as we're called and baptized into actually the job of being, as it is told to us theologically, priest, prophet, and king. How it is that we are called to pronounce the majesty of God in our life through the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit among us, and how it is that we are given then a responsibility to make that happen in a way that joins us with each other, that doesn't separate or build walls, separate us from each other. And so, thinking about the time in which we live, which happens every 4 years, if not more frequently, when politically we can find ourselves in a kind of a mess where as a nation we can be broken, we can experience real antipathy toward each other, where we can very easily be judgmental of each other, we can very easily use our phones, sometimes our little fingers on the website or out on the social media to divide and to fracture, which is different from what we're being called to in the movies. It struck me this week as I heard and read first and then heard on the news that Pope Francis had made statements around how it is that in America we are called to choose among or between the lesser of two evils as we vote. And I don't often, I'm not often, close to what the Pope says. I think he said that ex cathedra infallibility thing that we know. And I don't know if that works on the airplane if you're giving an interview, but you know. But in this case, I disagree. I don't think it's about setting ourselves up to choose between two evils. I think it's about clearly setting ourselves up to find and to look for the good in everyone. If we say, like we did already today, that we are created in God's own image, that all creation is made in God's own image, that we are taught by creation about what God's love is, then our job is to somehow look for that, not to judge the evil, but to look for the good in each other. Sometimes that's very difficult. Very difficult. Politically, you know, it's very difficult sometimes to find that, depending on, you know, where your stand is. But no matter where it is, I think that becomes our job, to seek after finding the good in the other, a good that will build us up rather than a fracture of the community. When I was the vicar at one of the streets, one of the things that dawned on me every day over there and every Sunday here in the church, the people that were coming into my life on a daily basis were typically, if not universally, quite needy and quite literally smelly. And it's very easy to see or experience the negative, the stuff that causes us somehow to impugn the other or to name the other as less than. Or to diminish the godliness of the other person, whether it's about being living on the streets, or being at the border, or being gay, or the kinds of things that our society can so trans for this society, but the kind of things that can come in the middle of finding love. Come between us and, as Jesus was talking about in the gospel, the truth. You know, sometimes we don't want to hear the truth or experience it, just fear, as Jesus was saying, you know, I have to die and suffer and be raised. And Peter's like, you, no, we don't want to hear that. And Jesus says, get behind me, you know. We have to do that to ourselves, that somehow we are drawn as Christians, not to choose between the lesser of two evils, but to make a choice for the most loving. To make a choice for individuals whose characteristics and whose values are congruent with my conscience and with our consciences. And with who it is that I know as a follower of Jesus I am trying to meet and become. James says none of us are perfect. You know, but we're working at it. And I think it's what's important for me to call myself to that this week, because I can very easily get down and dirty about being critical and judgmental. And then the Pope tells me to do what they're doing. The echo of Franciscan spirituality, as you may guess, is it's not our thing. Our thing is to look for the good, look for beauty, look for, seek after truth. And when we find it, can nurture it among us in our own And that, I believe, is how religion is put to rest and somehow unity can transcend the fire that the tongue is at work. And we as beautiful setting transcend our capacity to divide and to heal simply by cooperating with the grace of God that is literally part of who every creature of God is created to be.